SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Best hour of your day now officially underway. It's a Monday. It's Donnie. It's Kevin. It's SiriusXM Channel 159. It's the Sports Grid Network. It is Moneyline. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to go over from the NFL Saturday and Sunday, and now bleeds over into a Monday night neutral site game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams. But here we are. Hot topics abound. Loved what I saw this weekend. Profitable because I went back to an old friend. That Cashman 11-1 ticket last night, which I did not see live, woke up and saw the good news, Kevin, which was one touchdown apiece, one field goal apiece for each team each half. Bang last night. Love to see it.
Yeah, nice to see that. I, on the other hand, have to wonder if Saquon's time in Philly has been a bust. I mean, man, you got to ask yourself that question. Listen, man, if it was a one-point game, right move. 2-point game, 3-point game, keep going, even though I'd expect it. Or are they up 12? Yeah. Are they up 12?
Set records, Donnie. Kid.
Hit your head on the goalpost, run it up. It's what Philly wanted. It's what he should have wanted. The team would have loved it, and it would have put tickets in the air. And instead... Yes. I lost each team for a rushing touchdown in Packers Eagles because the Eagles didn't have a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, that was my one loss in the morning crunch yesterday. It was the Eagles over 1.5 rushing touchdowns at plus 100. And yes, they got none of them. And Jalen Hurts was shaky, and he threw two touchdown passes. And you're right, like, the game was over at that point. We understand. But also, it's over from a fact is, you've done that multiple times this year, Saquon, of hitting home runs late in games where you're up a touchdown or more just to prove that point. And I'm going to tell you right now, the way that play set up, the Packers' defensive backs were not chasing you down to the goal line. They were like, this season's over, man. What am I chasing that guy for? So the fact that usually me, like, well, what happens if you would have pulled a hamstring? That was one you're supposed to house. Do the Penn State waggle the arms as you run full speed in the back of the end zone and everybody celebrates. And yes, that would have hit a team total for me that I bet before the game of 26.5, which would have cashed at that moment as well. So a little bit disappointing. And that would have went from that 119 up to, like, you know, 175, and everybody's talking about you again and touchdowns and woe were the Giants for not having you. But that was something to watch. And why don't we start right there with Wild Card Weekend in the Philadelphia Eagles game yesterday? We're on the set. And it has nothing to see Kevin with his Eagles gear, me with my Eagles gear today, fans and always, but you have to be objective about what you're watching. Yeah. It didn't waver all week long for me. The Philadelphia Eagles, and no lies detected, Kevin, they were better at every single position, and they were at home. And I said yesterday on the desk, the only way the Eagles lose this game, if Jalen Hurts is extremely rusty and just giving the football away. He was rusty, but he wasn't giving the football away. Jordan Love was doing that. The Eagles' number one ranked defense lived up to every bit of that hype as the number one defense, which repeatedly stopped the Packers, turned the Packers over, and injured the Packers left and right.
Yeah, the Eagles are the best team in football, and that's been pretty obvious for a little while now, whether people want to acknowledge it or not. And, you know, it's very funny. Eagles went into the half up 10-0. And I said, anyone who right now says anything other than the Eagles are in a great spot is lying to themselves. They were up 10-0. But Hurts only has 30. And? Like, I don't understand why the Eagles, the Eagles aren't playing well, but the Packers are playing so bad, and it's only 10-0. Like, they're down 10-0 on the road, and the Eagles' offense is also not playing very well. I'm getting I got a text as Goddard was scoring. Hey, hey, Kev, worried about the Eagles? No. No. What do you guys... I understand the offense was not crisp. after the opening, you know, what, two, three drives of where they, I think they scored two of the first three drives. I understand that. Why that would stand out more than their best defense in football, putting on maybe their best performance of the entire season. It's in the eye of the beholder, but that's been the case with this Eagles team, I feel like, for a little bit now. Where, again, if you want to hyper-focus on Hurts, Donnie, that's fine. But I think Hurts will also be totally fine. I also don't think it was as much on Hurts as people were making it out to be.
No, it was just, you expected more. And that game should have been put away earlier. But it's the Packers. Mm-hmm. It's the playoffs. They're good teams. You know how things come down the stretch at that point. When the Eagles needed the score after countering that touchdown, they went right down the field, used their passing game. And Hurts was great on that drive, which included audibling into that play to Dallas Goedert, which he ran a guy over like three different times to get to the end zone, and away the Eagles go. That's one thing. Also, Nakobe Dean, devastating injury for him. Yeah. He's going to be out for the season, miss parts of next year with a patellar tendon. That was key because Burks, coming in from, missed a lot of tackles. Now, granted, he wasn't coming in expecting to be the starter. He will now get that week of practice time, but that is a bad injury because coming into the game, we're saying, man, all 11 on offense, all 11 on defense are going to be there. But if you would have said before the game, the Green Bay Packers are getting 5.5 points. The Eagles would win by 12. You'd say, I don't care what the score is. That's an unbelievable performance for the Eagles. But again, they get graded a little bit differently, and it is what it is. They'll play the winner of the game tonight in Philadelphia next week at 3 p.m., which, coming in, I forgot that they changed the divisional round to what just used to be the championship round. They had those sort of afternoon kickoffs on Sunday because I was having a panic before the game, before I saw, you know, Mike Tirico and the crew bring up like the times that they were coming in. I actually had a team that I was cheering for last night, and it wasn't the Washington Commanders. It was the Buccaneers because they would have been playing on a Saturday as opposed to a Sunday because I didn't want that 1 o'clock. Hey, you're going to do a show till 1 o'clock. Oh, I'm going to drive home and miss three quarters of the Eagles playoff game. I'd be out of my mind. So it landed perfectly for me as it plays out. But we'll know that victory winner tonight, and then you have that complete card as opposed to it. But the Eagles, Packers yesterday, Packers came in, the Christian Watson injury I knew was going to be devastating for them right off the bat. Taking away their top deep threat right off the top against the league's best secondary, knew that would damage it. Romeo Doubs hits his head on the back. I thought the concussion, you know, helmet was supposed to not give you concussions. That guy was stumbling off the field. And then you had Jaden Reed get injured later in that game. Not a great performance by Love by any stretch, but that's because the Eagles defense was certainly on it yesterday with Vic Fangio.
Yeah, I also just, you know, we went into yesterday's game, Donnie, and I gave what I knew wasn't going to be a popular take, but when you hear me out, my questions around Matt LaFleur. And those questions are going to get louder because Matt LaFleur, the claim to fame is actually last year's victory against Dallas and a lot of regular season success. But Donnie, they were atrocious yesterday. He's an offense first guy. You cannot have that. You know, I don't know what she's upset about. I can't figure that out. Been a real diva lately. This one, I tell you, we'll handle that in a break. We're almost there, but for Matt LaFleur, like, don't you feel as if the performance yesterday has to bring up some questions?
It does a little bit, but like I'm very good at making excuses for coaches and environments that they're in. They had a very good season, no doubt about it. The toughest division in football. I get it. I just didn't think we got their best punch. Now, whether that was Jordan Love a little bit, you know, amped up in the playoff game, or maybe his elbow was really bothering him, or the fact that they were down multiple wide receivers, you know, into the game and then steadily got injured as the game went along. I would just like to see, and I guess it's always the Packers' MO, like, just surround the kid with talent. You got him a top flight running back, which is great. Give him a legitimate tight end. Give him legitimate wide receivers to work around. Don't say, oh, Christian Watson will be back after his knee injury when you know he's going to get injured the minute he returns back to that football field. I still like LaFleur, but again, the guys of the game, as you handicapped it was, well, give me the positives for the Packers over the Eagles. There were none. There were zero. You were on the road. You played your starters last week. The Eagles rested. The Eagles are better. Head coach and every single position was better for the Philadelphia Eagles in that football game. They won going away. A lot more talk about Super/Wild Card Weekend, whatever the NFL wants to call it here. It ends tonight, but there are some games we still want to hit from this weekend's action. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Was it a tough night in the Walsh household last night? Commanders 23, Tampa Bay Buccaneers 20. I thought the Bucs heading into that game were going to win that, but again, it wasn't a 13-point line. It's a 3-point line. Washington came in, made the plays they had to, kept the football. Baker Mayfield only had 18 passing attempts in that game. Bucky Irving, 17 for 77 on the ground. Mike Evans, 7 for 92, but not a lot of other players chipping in. But also, right down to the wire, mistakes were made in the fourth quarter by the Buccaneers that cost them that game. And now the Commanders moving on and will play the Detroit Lions next weekend in a divisional round matchup.
Both teams, you know, had moments where they failed to execute. And ultimately for Tampa, theirs were just a little bit more costly. To get a fourth down stop like that and get the football right back to Washington was a huge blow, certainly. I know, Donnie, that I'm sure for you, when you watched that game, Jaden Daniels kind of did what you thought, which was, if anything's going wrong, I'll just run.
Yes,
and that's
correct.
What he did on that third down play. What I thought was stunning, not him getting away from the first man, but the first man gets there and slows him up. What in the heck did they think was going to happen on that play? Anything other than a Jaden Daniels run? That was a devastating blow to see him pick up that first down, because, you know, prop-wise as well, could have used Tampa to get back out on the field, if not overtime. Just a couple of extra things would have been nice. I needed a Bucky Irving reception, but it didn't happen there. I think for me, my thing is, man, I watched that Washington team, and I just want the Eagles to fly around and beat their heads in. I know that it is unlikely the Eagles will get to play Washington, but that team is as fraudulent as I thought. Listen, going forward on fourth down is totally fine, but having the greatest fourth down season in the last 25 years, there's as much luck as skill involved with that. And those things sometimes tend to blow up in your face. And, you know, it didn't fully blow up in their face in game number one of the postseason. It will eventually.
Yeah, they've been a great fourth down team because they have a quarterback that's like, what's your play call? Have him go back and just run around because nobody can catch him. He'll get the 3 to 4 yards, which, again, works in your favor. The one thing I do worry about is those increased carries for Jaden Daniels here. We saw Lamar Jackson go in the playoff mode, like, I'll just run every play. It doesn't matter. It's like, oh, that's an interesting strategy. Hopefully you don't get hurt. But even if you talk about slender Lamar Jackson, even more slender is Jaden Daniels. And that is a lot of hits he's taken over the past month. And he's going to get a lot more playing Detroit. But it did work in their favor. He was 24 of 35, 268, 2 touchdowns and no interceptions. My best bet came in on Baker Mayfield. Again, only throwing 18 passes. I needed him to get over 1.5 touchdown passes. He did get that yesterday. But there were a couple mistakes that Tampa Bay made in that game. It was a fun game overall to watch it play out. And now the Commanders are moving forward to take on Detroit. That is a heavy number, 8, 8.5 out there floating around. And they should be that high for a rested and ready Detroit team. But that's a big win for the Commanders. They've played a lot of really close football games this season. And those close football games, Kevin, they've actually came out on top more times than not. 12-5 on the season entering into the playoffs. And now a victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Pretty impressive. Did you not like anything outside of Rashad White getting 1 yard on one carry and not being used? But again, we've all been there with profits, and I've seen it many times. Like, the other team seems like they have the football the entire game where you never get the ball back.
So that was frustrating. The other thing was, Donnie, Rashad White played a lot more than that box score indicates. For whatever reason, the screening game that had been such a big part of the Bucs offense, they were like, what if we just eliminate it and throw everything down the field? And that's what we saw in that football game, or Baker kind of, like, Baker's like, what if I step up into the pocket and get smashed by three guys instead of a check down here to my elite pass catching backs? Like, I was like, I don't understand what's going on right now. Why do you, like, you are not going to pick up 2nd and 17 with your legs. Just check it down to Rashad or Bucky. And that's not what happened there. I think it's really interesting, Donnie, the conversation around Tampa Bay. Look, I gave Todd Bowles a lot of credit on our show yesterday. I'm not saying yesterday's loss falls on Todd Bowles, but you heard some of the chatter of, is it worth losing Liam Cohen in order to keep Todd Bowles? You know, and that's the risk. The thing is, Donnie, and it never works this way in pro sports where it's like, hey, listen, We're going to change your guys' roles. Liam, you're the head coach. Todd, you're the DC. And I think we can keep this thing the status quo.
Yeah, usually it doesn't. Because you even remember going to the Washington Commanders just, 2 years ago. We're bringing Bieniemy in. If he's having a good year, which means we're having a good year, we can then fire Ron Rivera. And like, it doesn't really work that way. Like, it's threading the needle in like the wrong direction at that point. But it is something get brought up. And we watch this all the time. And I know it's never going to happen. Like, let the fans call your timeouts for you, head coaches. They'll do such a good job and they'll understand. Mm-hmm. And I talked about it with Ben this morning. The joke is, have we ever seen Kevin, let's just say a 2 minute drill, and they go, man, that guy called his timeouts way too early in that 2 minute drill. It's always like, the common theme is when you get a 15 or so yard play in the middle of the field, and if you have two or more timeouts with a minute and a half or less, call the timeout. Now, does it ever work out in the team's favor? Because then scoring the touchdown said, well, it was a moot point. No, it wasn't. Because you immediately the announcers are right, like, well, now instead of getting like five plays off, you get three off. It's like, this doesn't make any sense. Your goal for the timeouts is to make sure you don't run out of time when you need extra time. And I just see plays like that where everybody's like, call timeout. They're changing the play. They're changing the formation. And the worst case is sometimes they snap. It's like, well, that's a little bit late. They call the timeout if they're going like, we just blew 15 seconds. It's crazy that it works out that way. Now, granted, they did score the touchdown. They needed that. And certainly it was a 10-10 game at the break at that point. But I can't see enough of head coaches. The simplest thing is making sure you call timeouts to save time, and they can never get it correctly, it seems like.
But that becomes the interesting thing again, right? Like, if you're, well, we want to keep Todd Bowles. We had a good year. Well, do you feel that you had a good year because of Todd Bowles, right? And again, like, you know, I know that it's not the NBA, but Donnie, you might want to have a conversation with Baker. Hey, listen, man, you had a great year with Dave. It was tough to lose him. You know, are you willing to run the risk of losing Cohen again, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's a valid conversation in Tampa Bay, though, Donnie. I do. Look, it is tough to hold on to a job for a long time as a defense-first guy if you are not yielding great results, or Mike Tomlin.
By the way, also, talking on the desk yesterday, love Tomlin as defensive coordinator. I thought he actually should have pressured in the second half even a little bit more than he did. Just don't like him overall as a head coach, and you just get the playoff loss, which, again, not entirely on his, but you just see some of those things where it's like, oh, once again, Todd Bowles doesn't understand clock management. That goes a long way at that point. At the end of the day, they did it to themselves, but credit the Washington Commanders for making the plays when they need to, including a field goal off the upright that counted. Devastating loss.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Got on the show yesterday. Gave out some best bet winners. Walked in my car. Turned on the radio. Sirius XM. Not 159, because I just wanted to check in to see what the score was for the Bills-Broncos game. Boom. 7-0 right off the bat. Like, oh, wow. Broncos really came to play in this one. This should be a good one. Listened to it on the ride home, got home, and then the avalanche started in the second half. An 11-0 quarter for the Bills, a 10-0 quarter in the fourth quarter for the Buffalo Bills. Just not enough here. Josh Allen, 20-26, 272, and two touchdowns. Cook, who I thought was, you know, was my favorite touchdown scorer yesterday, right off the bat gets a touchdown. Love to see that. Mm-hmm. 23 carries, 120 yards, and this just leaves you to believe. When you talk about the playoffs, during the season, 12, 13, 14 carries you usually give Cook. You give him 23. Like, everything's pressed up. You got to win their football games. I was impressed by the Buffalo Bills because I thought that was a game Broncos team coming in. Not that I thought that the Broncos could upset the Bills, because I thought the Bills would win the game, and roughly so. You saw the spread on that one. But I was surprised. Yet that it's 7-0, they clanked the upright on that field goal before the half, which would have made it 10-10, maybe a little bit more momentum. But it was clear in the second half, the Buffalo Bills, just a better football team than the Broncos.
Yeah, but it was so bizarre, Donnie, because I did think that Denver could pull off that upset. 7-0, you go, all right, game on. Things slow down. Nice little drive. Get yourself a field goal, 10-10. All right, you miss. Okay, no problem. Buffalo starts with the football. They take a decade. You go 3-and-out. The next time you get on the field, you know, the game is completely different. You go 3-and-out again. Yep. You pick your head up. Bo Nix didn't have a passing yard in the third quarter. So it was a game that got put out of reach very quickly in a very odd fashion, if you will. And credit to Buffalo for being able to do that. Certainly, I thought the Bills played with more confidence as the game went on, which was, they were more willing to throw up big than they were in the close aspects of the game, which I thought was interesting. But look, a credit to them. They won massively in a game that could have, you know, would have been a little scary, right? When you consider it could have been tied at the break. Sean Payton looked game, fake punts, right? The opening touchdown drive. So I give him a lot of credit.
And by the way, you see Josh Allen, 20 of 26, 272, no interceptions, two touchdowns, passer rating of 135, but a QBR rating of 88, which is sensational. Cook, as we said, 5.2 yards per carry. And that was my, you know, difference in the game where I said, you know, I think Denver might be able to be there, but I just didn't trust the Denver running game. Bo Nix, 4 for 43, which was fine. But outside of that, your next leading ball carrier was Devontae Williams, 7 for 29, then 2 for 8, 2 for 1, 2 for minus 2. 17 total carries for 79 yards when 44 carries for the Buffalo Bills, 210 yards, and a touchdown there. Impressive win for the Bills as it sets up next week, which we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. I still want to continue with the recap, but we are setting the stage for next Sunday. It's certainly be one of those epic games. The Broncos will be fine. They are ahead of the schedule right now. If Bo Nix can continue to be the quarterback in the evolution that maybe Sean Payton can take him on, you get an extra running back in the building, a legitimate one. You get an extra wide receiver to maybe help out Cortland Sutton a little bit, check out a tight end. I do think the future is pretty bright for the Denver Broncos. Just wasn't bright yesterday at that point. As that game also stays onto the total, a common theme for this weekend's action. But Saturday, even though we talked about on the desk yesterday, that Ravens-Steelers game and the fallout from that, because you're always led to believe the hardest-hitting, tightest games are going to come from the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. They are going to pound each other on both sides of the ball. May the best man win. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Kevin, 11 carries on that game for 29 yards. The Ravens, 50 carries for 299 yards and two touchdowns. 28-14 doesn't tell the whole story of this football game and also leads us to, what is next for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, I think that they have to have a massive shift at quarterback. You know, I've saw people mention Rodgers. No, thank you. And that's not even a Rodgers thing. Yeah. I think, Donnie, what the Pittsburgh Steelers should do, and it's funny, I've mentioned this to people, they go, it's not the Steeler way. And that's exactly my point. Lose a trade to get yourself into the top five and draft a quarterback. Lose the trade, right? Everyone, whoa, they got Fleet. Who cares? Who cares? If the combination of Tomlin and TJ Watt is going to basically guarantee you 9 victories, well, let's see what a quarterback can do for you. And go try and get a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders and give yourself an opportunity to get an elite quarterback prospect in that room. Enough of this retread nonsense.
And I don't know where you go from that because it's hard to move up and get that quarterback. And does he want to do that? And by the way, George Pickens was asked, does this make you optimistic moving forward in your offense when they said he showed signs of growth? Nah, was his exact response. You wide receivers are wild, which includes next. We're going to hit more football, but calm yourself down, read a couple quotational books here, and get back out on that football field. We'll hit it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Reading books. Something we probably should do more of. Not a big book reader, Kevin. You a big book reader?
No, I'm not.
When's the last time you read a book?
The Young Bucks book, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Explain to people what that even means, because I'm sure they don't
within
know.
It is within the last 5 years. The Young Bucks, AEW, pro wrestling. They wrote a book. I did read it cover to cover. It was an absolute delight. I will say this, again, you don't actually care. None of this is what you wanted. But if you are a wrestling fan, The really enjoyable thing about the Young Bucks book is there are stories around matches that if you've not seen, you can then go and kind of watch the match, which is a real fun thing to do as a wrestling fan. Because sometimes you see a story like, ooh, I'd love to get a little more context. And you just then get to watch a great wrestling match to add that context.
That is good. You know what other context I like? You know, the WWE going to Netflix, having a record night because why? They brought Hulk Hogan on. That's why.
All right. What if I give you What if I give you one detail, Don? They told the story, right? The young bucks. You know at least what they look right?
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, scrawny guys.
Scrawny.
So they were on the independence, right? The idea was like, hey, listen, we got to try and get the fans to rally around these guys.
Yes.
So the two guys they were going against were like, listen, we know how to get you sympathy. Don't worry. We're going to beat you up, right? And the fans will start to buy in. And the fans weren't buying in. And the two guys they were wrestling were like, let's beat them up even harder. And they...
Let's really sell it.
It got to the point where it was like they were just getting punched in the face and they were like, all right, this is a little much here. Like the guys started working as stiff as possible.
Yeah.
And the Bucks were like, we've never gone back and watched the match. Like it absolutely ruined everything.
Oh, it's so good. By the way, the another fun one I like was wasn't Psycho Sid. What was his name? He's more common known by Sid Vicious. Remember Sid Vicious?
Yeah.
Well, they have one, if you go on YouTube, where they have a hometown jobber was going up against them. It was a tag team. You know what I mean? You're supposed to be like, okay, we're going to smash these guys because our image is we're two 6'10 dudes. We beat up everybody. But the guy was like, they weren't working stiff, but the other guys weren't selling anything because he was in front of his hometown with like his mom and his girlfriend there in the stands.
Uh-huh.
So he wanted to try to get some offense on. So if you do look it up and it showed there, I think they were called the Twin Towers at that point, I want to say, or Demo. I forget what it was Sid Vicious and some other guy. But they were so upset that they weren't getting sold on that point. They started just beating him up in the ring, like throwing real punches at the guy and crushing his ribs and stuff like that. It's pretty fun the way it plays out. But if anybody knows wrestling, it's not supposed to be real. But if you don't help what you're supposed to, a jobber is meant to make one side look good. And when you're trying to get your offense off and make yourself look good, doesn't go as well as it does in the ring. But having said that, in wrestling, we're reading books here. I have books in my background. I think, honestly, you know what? If I look back, I think the last book I actually read was the Friday Night Lights, which is up in the corner, which I don't know if you can see it on this. I love high school football. I love Texas high school football. I love the stories from the 80s. But the reason we bring this up is A.J. Brown might be my favorite specimen in the NFL. I always joke like I have a kinship because wide receivers are detached from the football team unlike any other position we'll ever see because everything to a wide receiver needs to revolve around them. Touchdowns go other ways. They're upset about it. Like you win a playoff game, but you didn't get yours. You are upset about it. You lose a football game, but you had 10 catches for $125 and 2 scores. You can live with it. You're going out to dinner. You're making your face known in public like, hey, man, you know what? I put on a show for myself. But A.J. Brown now, because we always joke about the Giants playoff game just a few short years ago, the Eagles are pummeling the Giants, and their wide receiver is so upset that they send him back out there in the fourth quarter just to try to catch a deep bomb to make him feel a little bit better about himself, which then leads into Sunday's game yesterday. If you saw, pulls out an inspirational quote book called Inner Excellence to calm himself down on the sidelines and say, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. Let me read a passage that this guy's talking about, like, no matter what your environment is, you can always succeed. Next time up, you will get a better chance to be successful. I can't get enough of it. This guy is a whack job, and I love it, man.
So there's a few things with AJ Donnie, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more concerning thing is the fake tush-push deep shot, right?
Mm.
I only saw one person ask this question, but I will ask it to you because the theme of yesterday was blame Jalen, right?
Yes.
But there was someone who said, hey, AJ look a little slow to anybody getting that football. Because Don, he didn't underthrow him. He didn't swing it wide.
Yeah.
Like AJ couldn't catch up to a football that I feel AJ usually catches up to. Any thoughts on that?
No, I didn't really have too much thoughts because I thought it was one of those plays where they covered it well and that cornerback was like closing on the opposite because I thought AJ probably thought in Jalen as well. You're going to take 2 steps back and turn around. I'm going to have 5 steps on this guy, which he did have the safety beat, but he sort of swayed over to like sort of the pylon area as opposed to just running straight and that allowed the DB to get back into it. But I didn't think about that because my dad was watching the game was like, oh man, you got to come up with that pass. Actually, that was good. Just a good play on offense for a play call and a better play on defense. I didn't have that takeaway, but that's pretty funny.
The second thing is with AJ and the book, he couldn't have just said like, hey man, I'm thinking of like causing a scene.
Yeah.
If things aren't going my way, let me bring a book. Like maybe I'm the most naive person of all time.
Yeah.
but I feel as if though He actually does always bring a book to the game, and that must have been the first time they saw it. Like, it's got to be, Donnie, right?
I don't know. There are cameras in every game from every different shot where somebody's just, like, look on the bench and just, you know, shoot the bench and you might catch something here. I don't know if he's ever had that book on the sideline and out at that point. But I don't know if it was a planned thing. Like, I know I'm not part of this game plan. I'm so upset. I just need to do something. Because you usually can just say, you know, this guy's disinterested, or he spikes his helmet, or like Jalen in the offense is here. And, you know, three benches down, he's sitting by himself and pouting. I actually think it was funny, like a cover. Like, maybe it is, like, really helped him out. Like, I lose my mind in these games where I'm not involved. I just have to read something that will calm me down for a moment. Because I'll take, you know, you get off the field and you're hot and you sit down, you think about it, you read a quick quote, like, you know what? All right, we're winning this game. It's not bad. They just gave me another monster contract this past year. I'm good. We're winning. I'll get mine next time. Because if that was picture the room if that was 22-10 Packers and he wasn't getting the football. That post-game press conference would have been nuclear by him.
Yeah, that is true. He was obviously way calmer. But I also feel as if the fact that people are like, man, do we think the Eagles passing offense can win a football game? When literally the last time Donnie Hurts played a full game before yesterday was everybody asking that question, and then he lit the Pittsburgh Steelers on absolute fire. Like, I understand he was not good. How do people keep going, can you win with this guy? Like, how does that keep happening?
No, look, it's because there's so much expectations and so much talent on the Eagles that you figure, like, Saquon's supposed to get $150 a game. Jalen's supposed to throw for 275 plus. Both the wide receivers are supposed to have touchdown catches, and the offensive line's not supposed to give up any pressure. Those are the expectations. Yeah. You can't have all of those at once. And also, you did have the layoff here. I wasn't happy with the way they did, and I thought they should have handed the football off even more to Saquon during the middle parts of that game, where I had a stone-cold easy victory when which got 25 carries, which, again, I needed 19 and a half. I got that. There was a point in that game, like, he might get 25 by the end of the third quarter, and it turned into, is he even going to get 15 carries the way this is going right now? So it did work out in their favor, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, you know, at the end. But we talked a little Steelers and Ravens and what that means, but also, I do want to take a look at tonight's football game, which we'll do just after the break, but I can't help myself. Like, divisional round weekend is so much fun. And even looking past that, Kevin, to the NFC-AFC Championship Sunday, I don't know if we are set up for maybe the best Sunday of football, just team-wise. It's supposed to be, let's just say, the Eagles and Detroit in game number one, or whenever that game is on that Sunday. And then the second game, let's just figure it, it's going to be Kansas City. They'll beat the Texans. One or the other. The Ravens or the Bills. Like, football is so much fun. Can't wait for it to get there, but a lot more to cover. We got a neutral site game in Arizona tonight. Who's going to win that one? We'll hit it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Getting after it, people. We got a football game tonight, not in Los Angeles. And how does that affect this game? The Minnesota Vikings, Los Angeles Rams, Sam Darnold, Matt Stafford. Looks like a good one. Two good offensive play callers, Kevin. There were games this weekend played. Only one game went over. You know what game that was? It was two dome teams playing in a dome.
On, man.
Now, granted, you did need a mix-in touchdown run on fourth down, which you probably, and thank goodness for people that had the over tickets there, he didn't say, man, Saquon, I'm going to go down at the one, and we'll run four or five more plays here, and then we'll just take a knee at the three, and then they have to go, you know, 98 yards, and it's too out of whack at this point anyway. He scores that touchdown, they cover. Now, tonight, you do have, again, two dome teams playing in a dome, but it's neutral site, which I actually like, because you don't have one home crowd that's going to be able to dominate and, like, take over the arena and really have issues here for that offense, which you saw in Minnesota. Had a lot of problems. That Detroit crowd was on fire at Ford Field. Certainly made a difference. But the question you will start with here, Kevin, Sam Darnold's bad performance last week, does that leak into this week for you? Or is it like, you know what? Guys have bad games. Detroit's really good, and he should bounce back. Are you a little bit worried about Sam Darnold getting into this game?
I won't say I'm not worried about Sam Darnold, right? You know, if Minnesota wins this game, trust me, I will be looking to pick on I will be confident the Eagles will pick on Sam Darnold. I'm not sure the Rams are built to do that. I think there's been a lot of conversation about the Rams and oh, you know, Darnold, and he's going to be so bad. Man, Matt Stafford is someone who is still liable to turn a football over, and the Minnesota Vikings are the best at making a quarterback turn it over. I think their defense, Donnie, has the ability to go out there, set the tempo, and we've seen O'Connell get the Vikings going early in football games, and that tends to be my expectation for this game tonight. I will be looking to bet the Vikings in the first half. I think the first quarter might be too small a window, even if that is a little tempting, because what I'm not looking for is a 17-10 third quarter deficit. Don't worry, Minnesota can pull this off. That's not the MO for me in this football game. It's Minnesota jumping on this team up 10-0 early in the second quarter and potentially possessing the football.
Yeah, the total 47.5, which is interesting too. But we brought up a couple like key points in this game. Like, who would you look for as like linchpin players? And I don't mean like, hey, well, it's Justin Jefferson, it's Puka Nacua. Like settling into two players, like one on offense for Minnesota, like Aaron Jones. I truly believe that like, he has to be really productive. Banged up the past couple weeks. Finally got a full practice in this week. It can't be, hey, I'm going to carry 11 times. Like he really has to produce to help them move the football chains and take some of that pressure off of Sam Darnold, which also includes the play action pass then will open up. But on the other side, like 48.5 for Cooper Kupp, which is insanely low, but based on his past few weeks, maybe it seems like it's insanely high at this point. One of those guys where I joked this morning, like 48.5 used to be like his first half or second half prop. Like even if hey, he's got 68 yards in the first half. Yeah, throw another 50 on it because you know he's going to get it in the second half. Cooper Kupp tonight got a week to rest last week. Maybe he has been banged up. But if I just say, you know what, let me take Cooper Kupp and I see Puka get for every target that goes to Cooper Kupp, 7 coming the way for Puka Nacua, I won't be able to live with myself.
That, it becomes difficult, Donnie, because you know, it's not even just about Puka becoming the guy. The Kupp workload is not that of a number two wide receiver to close out the season. The Kupp workload, Donnie, was that of a couple of packages, right? You know, like that's what we saw there. So that was very concerning for me. Did not make me interested in backing him in any capacity. You know, you look at the weekend too. We've not seen a 300-yard passer yet on the weekend. We've not seen a game, you know, you talk about the totals. We've not seen a game where both teams have a rushing touchdown yet this weekend, which is, I don't know, I feel like that's a little bit of an oddity, right? You know, do we get a clean ride tonight? Do we actually see a level of fireworks in this game is something I'm wondering, Donnie, because, look, I think there are, I think that there is a law of averages. That is something that I believe in, right? And I, no, the Commanders game going under does not mean that Vikings-Rams goes over, but it's, hey, how'd the opening round of football go? Went 5-1 to the under? That's extreme. I'm just saying it is. It's the law of averages to me.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, 90.5 and 91.5 if you're just looking at FanDuel. So expected to have some top-end offense in this game. Quarterbacks, 242.5 for Stafford. Sam Darnold, 264.5. The touchdown props again, both at 1.5. Lighter juice for Stafford at -114. Sam Darnold at a -168 price. I do think, to be honest, I do think the Minnesota Vikings win this game. Like, I do. And also, it goes into effect where the advantage, so many people say, well, they're neutral site and they're both in the same spot. Understand this. Like, the Vikings played on the road last week. They knew they were playing on the road regardless of where it was going to be this week. Los Angeles, you know, Arizona. But also, from a Rams perspective, you were home, you were resting. You get uprooted middle of the week, a couple planes pick up your family, your dogs, your cats, and your loved ones and bring them with you there as you're worrying if your house is going to burn down or not. Oh, yeah, we have to play a football game that we earned home field advantage that we no longer have. And even though the proximity is closer to L.A., there's going to be way more Vikings fans there tonight. There would have been a big Vikings presence on Sunday, even in Los Angeles. I just think the Vikings are dealing with a lot less than the Rams have on their plate. And if you say, well, you know, the NFL's going to treat it, they're going to paint, I don't know, the Rams end zones if they do, and they're going to play the Rams fight song. Not the same thing. Different locker rooms. You're in a hotel as opposed to your house and not your same building that you're comfortable with. I think that's a big deal tonight, and that's why I have the Vikings winning this football game by 3 or more.
Yeah, I think the Vikings – it's interesting, though, Donnie, because I liked Minnesota before the game got moved.
The game getting moved the line a point.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds reasonable to me, right?
Yeah.
Because you're right, LA's home field was never going to be great kind of as is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you could, it's possible. I don't know all the parameters of it. Like, Donnie, it might have been just smoother if LA was supposed to be playing in Minnesota than kind of everything that's going on with all of this right now. So, it makes for an odd game. It's hard to really quantify, you know, where it will impact the game, but clearly to some degree, it's not a benefit. It's not a pro, right? If you're pro-conning this football game tonight, it's not a pro for the LA Rams.
Yeah. Advantage, by the way, Philadelphia Eagles. Why? Played yesterday, played at home, sitting at home tonight, watching a football game thousands of miles away, trying to get right on what you did wrong in that game Sunday, and now you can turn it forward. But next segment here, let's take a look at some of those early lines for next week. Looks like some good football, possibly a 55.5 total in the playoffs, people. Talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Gotta tell you, Kevin, I've been up way too late the past couple nights. Thursday night, Friday night football games, Saturday night football game, Sunday night football game. Watching them primarily all the way through. And tonight, the boys will be live on set tonight. Pro Football Today for Monday wild card action between the Vikings and the Rams, and I'm running on fumes right now. Might have to catch a nap this afternoon, try to get those vibes back up here, bring that excitement and joy. Tuesday, I got a day off so I can recoup, but it's been a couple late nights. I usually like to get into bed early. Hasn't been the case. Football's been that good. Football will continue to get good as we take a quick preview of the... Go ahead. Yeah, hit me.
People have been complaining about the football, right?
Why? Go ahead.
Yeah. So this is interesting, though, because I think maybe this would be good if Donnie and I can speak to this, because I've been super critical of the NFL product throughout the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what a lot of people are doing, like, hey, man, everybody was so mad about the college football playoff. Why aren't they as mad about the NFL playoffs? I'll just give you my vantage point. One, the NFL playoffs has a level of stakes where one team always matters at a super high level, at a high level. And by the way, an NFL blowout is much different than a college blowout. Ohio State, Tennessee was close for 0 seconds. Eagles, Packers might have been ugly football. There was always moments within that game. It was 16-10 late in the football game, right? So a blowout in the NFL is much closer than a blowout in college. So to me, the NFL playoffs are different. And again, I've been super critical of the primetime games that we've sat through, right? But NFL playoff football is different. Here's the other thing, though, because I saw some I saw some people kind of actually walking into bad arguments. They were like, hey, Bengals beat the Broncos head-to-head. They should have got in, right? Hey, Bengals were more impressive than Houston. They should have got in, right? You buffoons. If the NFL had a system like college, the Bengals would have been in. The NFL would have got that right. You are nuts. The college has a chance to put the best teams in and passes on it for good stories. Like, it is actually insane that people thought that that was some gotcha when it was just a reminder that we spent an entire college football season begging, hey, the teams that we know are the best, let's make sure they don't get a chance to play in a college football playoff.
It's what they like. It's what they like to do at that point here. But we do have games that are already lined up for this weekend. Any surprises to you? Chiefs, 7.5.
The Chiefs number is insane.
7-8.5.
I'm telling you right now, I'm on the Texans. I think they can win the game. The 7.5, no hesitation. I'll be annoyed if it falls to 7. I cannot believe it. Donnie,
what if I would sell you right now? Just give me Kansas City first half, like minus what, 4.5?
Why? They'll probably be losing at half.
Nah, 2 weeks to get ready. This chump team coming to town.
Yeah, but Don, it's... Here's the thing, man. All the evidence is there that this KC team can be had.
I think you got to stop hating on KC right now. Best version of himself right now. Hollywood Brown.
No, come on.
You got the boys flying around on defense. Best defensive coordinator in football. Come on now.
Oh, my goodness. Would you stop?
Texans team total 6.5. Where are you at on that? Texans.
Yeah, walk. Honestly, Donnie, my 14-10 Houston win might just be. That is a
4.5
like yeah. me. Not give even me, thinking me. Twice. Also, but again, here's the thing, Donnie. The truth is always in the answer. You run into the first half. Why? You know they're not covering that touchdown. Come on.
But you know they're not covering that.
They will
score drive to go up 7-0.
Right.
They will wait for the Houston Texans to kick a field goal in the second quarter. They'll kick a field goal at the end of the first half, 10-3. They might even be down by the time we start the fourth quarter. Then they just win that game. There you go. The first half is comfortable.
23-20. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I know I'll be on Houston. The Lions-Commanders game is going to be a tricky one for me to figure out. It's a lot of points.
But can you just get away with, like, hey, quarterback, just run around out there? Now, he is going to be on turf. It's going to be ultra-fast Daniels. But sooner than later, like that, like I feel like that Lions offense is just going to dissect that defense. But also,
probably,
do you agree with the Ravens being favorites of the Bills?
Has it flipped?
-1.5 Ravens currently right now.
I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at. I want to just take more time with the game, Donnie, but it became very clear to me through the futures market. Donnie, just through the futures market, the books believe Baltimore is the best team in the National Football League. They think they're the absolute best team in football.
18 degrees and smog is listed in Buffalo for that football game. Could we have a fog bowl, smog bowl? Maybe. Mm-hmm. JP behind the wheels of steel. Donnie Wright's out along with Kevin Walsh. Thanks for tuning in for an episode of Moneyline. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.